NPHET has told the government that it supports the lifting of almost all COVID restrictions. The government will decide how and when later today. Almost 2 years after the first confirmed case of COVID-19 on the island, almost 2 years after the country first shut down to try and contain its spread, after the deaths of over 6,000 people with the virus. Let's speak first to Dr. Gerard Barry. He's Assistant Professor of Virology at UCD. Dr. Barry, good morning again. Thanks for speaking to us today.
Good morning.
It's only 3 weeks since the Chief Medical Officer was telling us to meet no one indoors, no shopping centres, that the PCR testing system was overwhelmed. How did we get from there to here in 3 weeks?
Well, I think evidence has rolled in that has showed very clearly that despite massive levels of infection in the population, our wall of immunity that has been built up through, I suppose, infection and huge levels of vaccination, and combined with the fact that Omicron is less likely to cause severe disease than Delta, for example, means that our hospitalizations remains relatively stable, and ultimately our health system wasn't going to get overwhelmed. And that evidence is quite clear now over the last few weeks. I think there was a big fear about Omicron. That fear in terms of infections played out. We got massive numbers of infections, but our hospital system didn't get overwhelmed. So, you know, that's a hugely optimistic thing to look at now. And we didn't know that 3 or 4 weeks ago, I suppose. So we had to be a little bit cautious coming into that huge wave that we saw.
Are you surprised at the pace of this?
Yeah, I mean, a friend sent me a screenshot of one of the news articles last night, and I thought it was a joke when I saw it initially, to be honest. I am surprised. Yeah, NPHET have, I suppose, over the last 2 years, been cautious, naturally cautious, I think. But, you know, the evidence is pretty clear, at least from this wave, that despite even huge levels of infection, our hospital systems haven't been overwhelmed. And I think really restrictions were always brought in to protect our health service. And I think the evidence says that in the face of at least this variant, our health service is going to be okay. And despite being under massive pressure, can, it seems, cope with it. And less people are going to end up in hospital. So, when you look at it like that, really restrictions, in a way, we've become a little bit institutionalized. We're kind of so used to restrictions, it seems strange to take them away. But really, restrictions are very unnatural. They're not the way we should be living. So I think, you know, when the sun shines, we should be making hay. We should be really reducing restrictions when we can, when it seems, as I say, that the hospital systems are not going to be overwhelmed.
Dr. Barry, there will be a lot of people listening this morning who don't want to get the virus, who could still get very sick if they get the virus, and they'll be anxious about what's happening. Are they right?
Yeah, I think they are right. You know, and so I suppose this is where I kind of have a split personality on this decision this morning. You know, I think one side of me is so excited, you know, to tell my kids who haven't lived a normal life for the last 2 years, to tell everyone that actually, you know, restrictions are being released. But at the same time, I'm very conscious of many, many people in the population that now are actually probably at an increased risk of infection as a result of this decision, because, you know, there is still massive levels of infection in the country. There's huge trains of transmission happening. We don't really know how many people are being infected every day. We've lost complete sight of numbers of infections in the country. Yes. And so with that still high level of virus going around, you know, I suppose it's this mixed message in a way of things are getting better, but the virus by no means has gone away. So there is still that risk of infection, and particularly for vulnerable groups and vulnerable people, yes, there is still that increased risk. And actually, we don't really know who could get severe disease from this infection, but hopefully, particularly with booster vaccinations, the vast majority of people won't be severely ill from it.
Dr. Barry, stay with us. We're also joined by Professor Niamh Hourigan. She's a sociologist and vice president of academic affairs at Mary Immaculate College in Limerick. Professor Hourigan, good morning. Thanks for talking to us this morning.
Good morning.
Mixed emotions, as Dr. Barry was saying. Lots of people will be very excited, very relieved, perhaps very confused, and also wondering how to manage their emotions after 2 years of a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress that, frankly, isn't going to go away all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's interesting that compared to other societies, for instance, like the US or the UK, we have never allowed ourselves to go here before. So we've never allowed, or NEFET certainly has never allowed a public narrative to get out there that we are at the beginning of the end, which I think is essentially what they're trying to say now. And I suppose there's two pieces to that. First of all, any public health response is about expectations, and it's about managing expectations. And NEFET's approach, precisely because of what Gerard was saying about risk in the public health system, has always been quite risk averse and really quite downbeat, even compared to, if you look at other comparable entities in other European countries. So that's why I think this is something of a watershed moment. But I suppose that the other side of the house, from a sociological point of view, is essentially people have had 2 years now of what you might call sociological conditioning to be worried about COVID, to be thinking about masks, to be thinking about your standing close to people. And that, you know, March 2020 is quite a long time ago. That will take quite a long time to disappear. And it's very interesting if you look at Hong Kong after the SARS outbreak, you know, which is a long time ago. But that society, I mean, you saw patterns of mask wearing remain in place in that society for a very long time afterwards, and indeed, in some cases, still continue today. So I don't think by any means we're going to see a flip in the broader group of Irish society into kind of a massive party or a blowout. But I think certainly in some groups, and I think particularly for young people, there is a pent-up sense that I've lost 2 years. Often 2 years, you know, if you're thinking about students, 2 years when you maybe had your Debs and had your Freshers Week, and you're not going to get those back. And there is a sense now that people need to live a little. So it'll be about balancing that with those, still protecting those who are in those higher risk groups.
Yes, but managing, I suppose, and asking people to be patient with those perhaps who aren't ready, even within households, for example, there will be differing opinions.
Well, one of the most interesting aspects of COVID, I think, for all of us has been the differences in our social circles in terms of how people manage it and what their attitudes to risk are. And we saw a lot of that over Christmas, you know, different people having different attitudes to risk and having to negotiate it with each other. And really the key to this, to coming out of this, is going to be that negotiation piece and people being upfront about where they are at with the easing of the restrictions and communication, because people are going to be in very different places around this. I suppose one important piece, though, is that historically we have had this emphasis in Ireland on the elderly. You know, compared to other European societies, we mind our elderly, we value them. And I think that will remain in place, and that will continue to, I think, underpin a kind of quite compliant, quite risk-averse attitude to restrictions that remain.
Dr. Barry, you look at what's happening in Australia, where so many of us have family, Western Australia in particular, who yesterday changed their mind about opening up their borders next month because of their fears over Omicron. What do you think of the contrast between the approach there and the approach here?
I suppose it's very difficult to compare across countries. I mean, you know, when you look at Australia, you look at New York yesterday, they had as many deaths yesterday recorded as they had back in May 2020. You know, so Omicron by no means is a simple little plaything that we can kind of ignore completely. But I think, you know, the evidence is pretty clear over the last 3 or 4 weeks. We had massive levels of infection in Ireland, you know, probably over 500,000 infections per week at some points. And as I say, our hospital system did not buckle. It was under huge pressure, but it coped with it. And realistically, I think NEFET have always focused on protecting the health system. But I think, you know, we have to acknowledge that this virus is still running around the country, infecting a lot of people. I really don't see, you know, I think the talks of the pandemic being over and stuff are premature. You know, this virus is still around. It's still infecting people. It's still making people sick, maybe not putting them in hospital, but still making people sick. It will still kill people, you know. But I think, in a way, we have accepted with other diseases that a certain percentage of people that are going to get infected will die. And we haven't impinged restrictions on the rest of society. So I think perhaps NEFET are looking at maybe trying to strike that balance a bit more. But importantly, this virus hasn't gone away. I think we really need to start to think about how are we actually going to set our country up to live with this and not have to reintroduce restrictions in the future.
One of the restrictions that may be lifted is the use of COVID passes. And if the protection offered by vaccines against transmitting the virus is limited and so many people have been vaccinated, what's the point of them now?
Yeah, I think if we're loosening all other restrictions, to be honest, and allowing the idea of the virus kind of to run through the country, you know, I think there's a strong argument to say that vaccine passes will go very soon. I'm not sure they're serving a huge purpose. You know, once we start to open up and loosen other restrictions, I think they'll go pretty soon.
Professor Niamh Hourigan, there will be a lot of people, apart from the anxiety, apart from the caution, who are going to be very, very excited this morning.
There are. There's a lot of living to do out there. And I think it's very exciting from that point of view. And I suppose one of the things we've learned in the last 2 years is that there's a trade-off that in a sense that when you introduce restrictions to protect public health, but there's often unforeseen consequences of that, particularly on the toll that those restrictions take on people's mental health, if they can't work, if they can't, you know, go out and socialise. So we would hope that we'll see an easing in terms of that, and some of that living that was essentially missed out in the last 2 years will come in. But I suppose the flip side, and it's this balance piece, is that you'd be concerned about, I think somebody it says in the papers, talked about the summer blowout. I think there will be concerns about that too, of people going completely mad. So that'll be a whole other set of sociological problems that we may face into in the summer. But certainly that having that feeling of movement and opening up as we come into spring, I think is very exciting for so many people in Ireland.
Professor Niamh Hourigan and Dr. Gerald Barry, thank you both very much for speaking with us this morning.